Well, I tell you, the music has been such that probably if you've listened, you've heard a lot of preaching already from the Word of God or from the singing. And I do believe music prepares our hearts for the Word of God. I believe it is also, I believe we're worshiping the Lord. I believe He is the audience and that we're to sing as unto Him. Well, take your Bibles tonight, 1 Kings chapter 11. Last week we were in this passage of Scripture about Solomon. And Solomon is one of those guys that turns away from God towards the end of his life because he married many women. But the Bible said he loved many strange women in 1 Kings 11. And these women begin to influence him in the area of worship. And so I used this quote last week, and I'd like to repeat it so that you could get an overview of Solomon's life. And it's found in Vance Havner is the man who said it concerning the life of Solomon. He said this: he was premiered in wisdom, he peaked in wealth, and he perished in women. He premiered in wisdom, he peaked in wealth, and he perished in women. Now, if you'll be reminded to know that the reason that Solomon was able to have the wisdom that he actually had was because of his love toward God. And that's why I'd rather go back and preach about Solomon's love toward the Lord and how he said, God, I am but a little child. I do not know how to come out. I do not know how to come in. I realize that I'm only in this position because of my father David. But yet the Bible said he turned his heart toward God. And because he turned his heart toward God, God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And because he had this wisdom, he premiered in it, but he peaked in wealth. And it's unbelievable. I don't want to go back. But just be reminded of some of the building that Solomon built and the wealth that was there and all of the things that came into the kingdom of Solomon. It is an amazing study to look at the wealth that he had. But unfortunately, here's what we see in verse number 1 of chapter 11. This was the message from last week. But the Bible said he loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and the Hittites. That's all of the nations that God said don't have anything to do with. Don't let the Hittites and the Moabites and the Amorites and the Edomites and the Zidonians, don't let them influence you. But he married these women and they turned his wife to other gods. Look at verse number 4. Again, this is a message from last week. I'm getting close to tonight. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as with the heart of David his father. Now, I'm going to tell you something. All through your life, no matter how long you've been saved or whether if you're not saved, it's a heart issue. If you are saved, it's a heart issue. It's always going to be about where you align your heart, what you allow your heart to be influenced by, how your heart is either turned toward God, listen to me, or turned away from God. Now, one of the things we learned, think about this in the book of Esther, we talked about this morning the providential hand of God, that God saw what needed to be done and He intervened. Well, by the way, that happens not only in preservation, but it also has to do with judgment. You know what I'm saying? When God sees that our heart is not turned toward God, He will always rebuke us. He will always draw us. He will always convict us to come back to where we're supposed to be. But if we don't turn our heart to God, then God sees and God's going to judge. Now, I want you to think about that, and now we come to the night's passage of Scripture, and I want you to see in verse, so go ahead and stand with me, 1 Kings chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in verse number 9, and I'm not going to read all the way down to verse number 40, but I am going to allude through the rest of this chapter, because I want you to see what happens. Now the Bible says, and the Lord was what?
Angry.
Oh my. There's a lot of things. I mean, my wife gets angry at me. And we try to work it out. You know what I'm saying? Come on now, help me out. But when God is angry, I know I'm in trouble. Always, always. But when God is angry, that's a different thing. Everybody need to get a hold of this. So all of the things that we read in chapter 11 down to verse number 8, what Solomon did, turned his heart away from God. The Bible says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Why? Because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much... Now here's, you see, God's going to start working. God's going to start judgment. And this is going to affect the nation of Israel, not only during the rest of Solomon's reign, which is very short-lived, but it's going to go into the rest of the nation of Israel all the way till the time that they're taken into Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Right. Listen, your sin, your moving away from God in your heart, doesn't just affect you.
Right.
It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect those that are around you. It's going to affect your family.
Right.
And in this case, it's going to affect all of the nation of Israel. And he said, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statute, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Now, from that point forward, down through the rest of this chapter, God begins to show us men that he raises up that's going to bring judgment somehow upon the nation of Israel. He talks about Hadad. He talks about Jeroboam. And Jeroboam is actually going to be his adversary. Look at verse 25. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. And then we see here the rise of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And by the way, you will read that all the way through the rest of the Old Testament until Babylonian captivity. He did that which was not right, but went in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin as he raised up golden calves in the northern kingdom. And he was the one that split the kingdom between him and Rehoboam, and we'll look at that. But when you get to that story, you begin to think about Rehoboam and how he had the young men's wisdom and the old men's wisdom, and he didn't follow the wisdom of the old men, he followed the wisdom of the young men, and the kingdom was split. Well, time out, this is going on way before that. That's the human side of it. But chapter 11, verse 4, through the verses that we read here about the rising up of these adversaries of Solomon, God is working in judgment behind the scenes. And he's raising up guys like Jeroboam. So I want to preach tonight on this subject. God is angry. God is angry with our sin. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Tonight, the story of Solomon that takes a turn for the worst, as we've seen in the last two messages. Oh God, how we saw the rise of Solomon because his heart was turned toward God. We saw that his heart was enlarged. We saw the wisdom that you gave him, and the proverbs and the songs and the wealth that he accumulated because of the wisdom that he was able to obtain only by you. And we know, according to the Word of God, he was the wisest man on the face of the earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was humanly the wisest man of all the men that were on the earth, of all the kings. I think of even the Queen of Sheba. She came to see the wealth and the prosperity and the servants of Solomon. She said there was, the Bible says There was no spirit left in her. And I don't even know, Lord, that we could imagine the grandeur of Solomon tonight. We can read it in the Scripture. We can try to describe it. We can use today's money terms. But Lord, it was Israel's height as they were the nation of the world at this time. All because you gave Solomon wisdom. And then God, we had to read chapter 11. In fact, we could say that chapter 11 is called bankruptcy in many of our terminology today. Chapter 11, bankruptcy. And tonight, Lord, we read, and last week, we read chapter 11, bankruptcy in the life of Solomon. And God, I pray that your people would understand when we see the term God is angry, that is not something to be taken lightly. So I pray tonight you'd help in the preaching of God's word. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated tonight. Solomon's passion and Solomon's pride caused him to move away from the things of God. And I don't want to re-preach last week's message, but I will remind you that you are influenced by those that you associate with. You are influenced by those who become close to you in your life. And Solomon, I mean, you can't get any closer than marrying all of these women. And I believe I made some statements such as this: these women that Solomon associated with, from the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Zidonians and the Hittites, he should not have had any kind of close association with them, or he should not have been any kind of partnership with them, much less marrying them and bringing them into the nation of Israel. And then the Bible says this, at verse number 5 of chapter 11, that Solomon begins to go after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Milcah, the abomination of the Ammonites. And then in verse 7 says, he begins to build high places for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. And then he goes into Molech worship, which was really a child sacrifice. And he's doing this because these women are influencing him to be involved in this false worship. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that Solomon's heart now is turned away from God. And now the Bible says this: God is angry. I'm telling you, some of the worship that goes on in so-called churches today, this is my perspective based upon what I see in the Scripture as true worship. God is not pleased. And if God is not pleased, then God is angry. Now we see his heart is no longer, as the Bible says, perfect with the Lord, and God is angry. He has allowed room for other gods to come into his life, and God, therefore, is angry. This man whose heart was large in the matter of worship toward God is no longer devoted only to Jehovah, and therefore, God is angry. Solomon, listen to this, was a modern-day ecumenical fella. We could almost say he was moving, as we did on Wednesday night, he was moving into apostasy. Remember what apostasy is? Apostasy is somebody who knows the truth and then turns away from the truth. And not only do they know the truth and turn away from the truth, but they begin to worship in false ways. And that's what Solomon is doing. Because Chemosh and Ashtaroth and Molech, they are not God. Amen. They are little g gods, but they're idols is what they are. They're not really God. There's only one God. Amen. And they are not gods. But yet he is allowing these women to build these houses for these other gods. He listen to this. Think about this. He no longer has a narrow view of worship. He no longer has a narrow view of salvation. Everybody with me? He is now tolerating other religions, other doctrines, other gods. And you know what? When that happens, God is angry. He has abandoned the old ways of the law, and now Solomon is more open-minded to other faiths and other beliefs. And listen, and the Bible says God is angry. He is now paying respect to other ways and other methods, trying to appease everybody. And when he's appeasing everybody, including these women, he is displeasing God, and therefore God is angry. Is everybody getting this tonight? If God can be angry with Solomon, I reckon he can be angry with us. Because God is angry, we can safely say this, and this is what's unfortunate. Solomon did not finish good. The older you get, the more you want to say, God, help me to finish right. Help me to finish good. Help my heart not to be turned away after other things. But I have seen it over and over. You know, old men can become apostate. Old men can turn from what they've always believed to turn to something that they should not believe. People like to speak of the love of God, and I praise God that I love to preach about the love of God, but we're not preaching about the love of God here. We're preaching about the anger of God. Because God, listen to this, why do you think God would be angry? I mean, his heart, the reason that Solomon's heart, the reason that God allowed Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted is because when you go back all the way back to chapter 3, it is because God knew his heart that it was turned toward God. And because it was turned toward God, God said, I know he'll ask for the right thing. And so he came to him, and the Bible said in our text, he came to him twice. And when he comes to Solomon, he said, Solomon, I'll allow you to ask whatever you want. And Solomon asked for the wisdom that he might be able to lead the people. And then immediately after that, the Bible shows us the wisdom that he had with the two harlots and the baby that had died. I mean, you're thinking, and don't say, well, that's what I'd have done. No, I'm telling you, that was the wisdom of Solomon. When Solomon said, when the one baby was there, bring out a sword, we'll cut it in half, we'll give half to the one mother, we'll give half to the other. And he knew that the real mother would balk at that and say, oh, no, don't kill the baby, just go ahead and give it to her. Solomon said, now we know who's the mother. Now that's the wisdom of God. But not only that, you get into the book of Proverbs, and every day I am amazed by what I read in the Proverbs, what Solomon says in those Proverbs. And they are for today just like they were for then. God gave that to Solomon. And then the Bible talks about Solomon, how he knew about trees, and he knew about plants, and he knew about fishes, and he even had some apes brought over because he wanted to see them. I mean, he knew a little bit about everything. Why? Because God gave him that wisdom. And why did God give him that wisdom? Because his heart was turned toward God. Amen. And just as soon as his heart is turned away from God and he begins to go into apostasy, the Bible says this, God's angry. Why wouldn't he be angry? Why wouldn't God be angry if God has saved us by the grace of God, saved us, set us on a solid rock, and then we decide all of a sudden out of our life, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Yeah. Write it down. God will be angry. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, you leave God, you leave the church, you leave the things of God, God will be angry, and it will not turn out good. Amen. It never does. Amen. When you turn away from God. People like to speak of the love of God, but the other side of the coin is the anger of God. In Exodus 22:24, God says, my wrath shall wax hot. In the Revelation, he says, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Let me just tell you something. God is a God of grace. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. But you're not going to spit in God's face and get away with it.
Amen.
You're not going to worship gods of Chemosh and Molech. You're not going to set up high places for them. And God just said, okay, well, you know, it's okay. We have a whole generation today of people who are living in a lifestyle that is totally directly opposed to the Word of God. Yet they say, well, we go to church. No, not in a church of the living God. You're not going to live like that. You're going to live holy and righteous in the way God would have you to live. You're going to get saved by the grace of God. If we don't preach on God's anger, then we'll come to think our sin is not that bad.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, God was angry with God was angry with Solomon because of this nonsense that's going on. And in Nahum chapter 1 verse 6, who can stand before his indignation and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Listen, we see wickedness abounds in our generation. But don't worry, God will take care of it. It's not our responsibility. The Bible says God is angry. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So the Bible teaches us in chapter 11 verse 9 with Solomon, after reading the first 8 verses, then verse 9 says, God is angry. It is a divine anger, which is the worst of all angers, because God's anger is a righteous anger. Sometimes our anger is not always righteous. Sometimes our anger is the product of our own self-being. Somebody say amen. It can all, anger can come because of our pride. Anger can come because we didn't get our way. Man, I'm telling you, I'm glad my children are raised. You see something that can... I don't want God to be angry with me like he was with Solomon. You can survive the anger of others, but when it comes to the anger of God, son, judgment is coming. And buddy, it did come up on Solomon. He said, well, it didn't really come up on Solomon. Hey, listen, you cannot read the kings and the prophets without recognizing that it started right here. Now, we could go back to the judges too, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How'd that work out? Not so well. I like much better the verse in other places where the Bible says God loves Solomon, God delighted in Solomon. But he begins in love and delight and ends up in anger. Every lost sinner who passes from this life dies under the wrath of God. Amen. Did you hear what I said? That's why you need to be saved by God's grace. You need to come to God in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you will die in the wrath of God if you're not saved by the grace of God. And God is a gracious God. God went to the cross and died for our sins. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now listen to this, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a serious thing to take under consideration. And the thing about the anger of God, it's always justified. It's always justified. Verse number 10 said, and he had commanded him concerning this thing. He appeared unto him twice, verse number 9. And he had commanded him concerning this thing. What is this thing? That he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Everybody listen to this. He kept not that which the Lord commanded. Well, what does the Lord command? Read the Bible. He commands all men everywhere to be saved. He gives no hope of tomorrow, only hope for today. Spiritual privileges, listen to this, spiritual privileges brings responsibility. Very dangerous position to come to church, hear God's revelation declared, and ignore it or not respond to it when God speaks. I tell you, I remember back in 1984, I came into a church service and Brother Wally Williams preached that message out of the book of Matthew. All those who say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, there was nobody else in that building but me, and God was dealing with me. And I'm telling you, in my pride, I held on for all she had. I didn't come get saved. I should have got saved that morning. Now, I want to tell you, later on that night, the next day, I got saved. But the message would not leave me alone. You know what? Because I realized God is angry with me. God loves me, but he's not in love with my sin. God loves me. God died for me. God made a way for me to be saved, but I must come to him God's way. You're not going to go to God your own way. You're not going to go the Chemosh way, the Molech way. No, you got to come to God his way. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Solomon do when God appeared to him? He responded. What are we to do if God speaks? We're to respond. Did you know that's why we have an invitation in a Baptist church? It's not a filler moment, but rather it is time to respond to what God's doing right now through the preaching of God's Word. When God revealed Himself to Solomon, it had to do with Solomon's walk and it had to do with Solomon's worship. And up until this, back in chapter 3, Solomon was walking with God. Solomon was listening to God. Solomon was worshiping God in the biblical way. But I think anybody can understand chapter 11, bankruptcy, Chemosh, other gods, Ashtaroth, verse number 5, Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. That's not the way to worship God. Now when Jezebel comes on the scene, Baal worship is going to be the primarily the adopted way of worshiping falsely, Baal worship. And there was a lot of wickedness that went on with it. Well, let me just tell you something, my friend. There's a lot of wickedness going on in worship, so-called worship today. We're to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now God is angry. When we fail to benefit from spiritual privilege, we're headed in a place where God is angry. Verse Kings 11:10, He kept not that which the Lord commanded. Isn't that what it said? There's no excuse for disobedience because God's word are very plain. God's word is not hard to understand. Just like the words of a parent to their children when they say, make your bed. That's not real hard to understand. Take out the trash. Well, I'm not sure theologically what my mom meant by that. It meant take out the trash. When your dad tells you to have the grass mowed when you get home, that means have the grass mowed. You understand what I'm saying? God's word's not difficult to understand. And in the matter of Chemosh and all that, God said, don't do that. Don't allow these people to influence you, Solomon. First of all, we go back to the law. He was forbidden to do that in the first place, marry many women. Jeremiah speaks of the early habit of God's warning. And God warned early, and He warned him plainly. God's word is not hard to understand. This King James Bible is not hard to understand. Amen. Somebody, I think I'd use this, but somebody said, oh, the these and the thous and the stuff in the Bible, that's hard to understand. But I said, oh, okay, well, if I was to say, if thou would comest to church tonight, and forthwith if you did come, I would givest thou $1,000. Well, I don't have no idea what the preacher just said with all them these and the thous. Don't be a goober. You understand exactly what the Bible says. And I'm not going to give you any money anyway, so I'm just saying. We will never be able to excuse our sin by saying God's commands are difficult to understand. Let me think about this. I wrote this down. Even if it was hard to understand, Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. Therefore, he should have been able to figure out what God was saying when he said, don't have anything to do with those other gods. And I'm going to tell you right now, number 3, God's anger always brings judgment. When God gets angry, judgment will follow. And my friend, from verse number 11 all the way to verse number 40, I didn't read all of that and I didn't tell all that, but it begins to talk about behind the scenes, with Solomon not even realizing it, God's raising up men in Egypt. He's raising up men like Jeroboam, Hadad, the Edomite. He's raising up these men to bring a snare to Solomon's life. Now, someone might ask the question, and so I don't like hypotheticals, but would have God have done that if Solomon had stayed true to God? The answer is, if Solomon had stayed true to God, the story would have turned out different. And so let's fast forward to tonight. Every decision that we make, every choice that we make brings a consequence, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And we don't fall into sin. We walk right into it with our eyes wide open, knowing what the Word of God says. You can do whatever you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what God will do. And that is so sad. 34 years, I've been a pastor. And sometimes I just want to walk over to the wall and beat my head on it. because I see people make wrong choices. I see people walk out of church. I see people begin to worship in a different way. And I take no pleasure in later on. Sometimes years later, you see some kind of result. And you're just like, man, if you could have just went back and made the right choice. Well, I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you. Amen. Don't make the Solomon choice. Don't become bankrupt. Solomon's kingdom by all human standards was so impressive. It was so impressive. But God was not impressed. Not only would it be taken away, it would be given to one of his servants. Do you understand that Jeroboam was one of his servants? And now he's going to take over 10 after Solomon is dead and Rehoboam and Jeroboam come on the scene, that Jeroboam is going to take 10 tribes of Israel away from what Solomon had. And it's going to be called Israel to the north, and to the south it's going to be called Judah, and it's only Judah and Benjamin. And did you know that in the north there's never one good king? And in the south there'll be a good king, a couple bad kings, maybe one good king. And you get to read about, guys, maybe this will be it. But it all started, listen to this, it all started in chapter 11, bankruptcy. That servant, Jeroboam, would cause the 10 tribes to worship golden calves. And never would there be a good king in the northern tribes. For David's sake and David's sake only, Jerusalem and the southern tribe of Judah, including Jerusalem, will be spared because God is still a God of goodness and grace. God is angry, but listen to me, He is also gracious. And all Solomon had to do is the same thing that all we have to do, is just repent and turn back to God in whatever area of our life we may have decided we want for ourselves. God is angry tonight with sin. If God was angry with sin then, He'll be angry with sin tonight. He is angry at the way that people are changing worship. God is angry with people who want to pervert His name. God is angry with people who want to change the way of salvation. However, He is a God of grace and He is a God of mercy. And for the sake of His Son, He is still willing to save and to forgive and to restore. Because that's the God we serve. Don't go bankrupt. Follow God. Amen. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed.